This is Radia Files, a showcase and analysis of productions from the international radio art network Radia. Today, we speak to our correspondent at Eastside FM in Sydney, in Australia.
My name's John Panther, and I have a program that I put on a Sunday night here in Sydney called Listening Space. For an hour and a half, I hijack the radio station. I don't know how aware or unaware people are of the situation with community radio here in Australia. We have a government that seems to be hell-bent on throttling arts, and certainly hell-bent on removing funding from community radio here. And there's a lot of people, a lot of radio management who are sitting on tenterhooks and are having to be very careful about what they do in case the boogeyman in Canberra rips their funding away. So they've got a lot of very tight boundaries they have to work within. But for my hour and a half on Sunday, I just use this as a kind of an experimental space. I treat it like a lab, like a laboratory, really. I put my little white coat on, and I just use it as a performance space, or it's a space to work with sound. And oddly enough, I get left alone. I just get left alone to get on with it. My reason being is that we're fitting the remit for funding, that the government feeds us for the rest of the week. For that hour and a half, I pretty much do what I like, and I basically start off with working with material that I've created, and then I gradually feed it into Radia created work, and that's what I do at the station. Yeah.
Could Eastside FM be considered a classic community radio station?
I don't know. What exactly is a classic community station? I mean, they sort of depends, which country you're in, the culture you're within, and the funding system of that particular. It's community in that it follows that system of we are all members, we all financially contribute, and we all work as a community. Eastside came into being in the 80s. It's feel or its flavour, but it's, to cut a long, long story short, now there does tend to be an element of everybody who's producing or hosting a show has turned it into their own little slot of radio space. So you can't really talk in terms, I think, of Eastside FM as being a particular flavour of community radio. I think it is a case of everyone's just like me, I guess, hijacked their space, and they're using it as a platform, as almost all these individual radio broadcasts or individual programs. We seem to be allowed to do this. So it's kind of, Eastside is now a platform for individuals to develop their own space to do their own work in. I mean, obviously, there's a certain remit. We do try to focus on local material, obviously. Sydney, Australia, has never had a history of listening in new ways and dealing with new forms of sound. So there is a feeling of virgin territory to be enjoyed hacking our way through. So there is that feeling of the pioneer spirit.
If I remember correctly, your show... Didn't it used to be later on at night?
Yeah. Look,
in the beginning, and now you're. Yeah.
Well, obviously, when I went to speak to my manager, the manager, and get interviewed for it, I think there was obviously a not quite grasping what the hell I was actually trying to do, and a risk factor attached to it. So obviously, the safe thing to do was let's do the graveyard shift on a Sunday. So yes, I was, because there was not a full. I mean, it was quite amusing. Trying to explain the situation with Radia and the whole sort of network and the whole pooling of how it worked. It took a while for that to be taken on board, yes. But yes, we now understand that it's not quite as threatening and as scary as it might appear. So yeah, I've been sort of shoved into slightly more prime time primetime transmission now, because it didn't turn out to be quite as scary as we were thinking it might be. Yeah, you're quite right. Yeah.
Terrifying prospect of international radio art.
Yes, and just unfamiliar listening experiences. You know, it's a terrifying prospect. Mm. Yeah, yeah, it is. I don't know what it is about the audio arts. I mean, 100 years ago, we got over this idea with the visual arts. We could see something new and just cope with something new and something unexpected and something unfamiliar. I don't know what it is about the sonic arts, is that if we're confronted with something new and unfamiliar, the human race tends to kind of freak out a little bit and not cope with it. So I don't know what that's all about, you know? So I made it quite clear right from the beginning I wasn't going to do wallpaper, so...
Well, it's radio is a scary medium, isn't it? It's very ghostly, you know? It's much easier to push people into funny situations than horror.
Because what you're doing is... It's terribly intimate. Besides that whole thing about the compression of time and space and how that goes out the window, you're actually inside someone's living space. You're inside their home. You're in there with them. And what exactly are you doing with that? And that's the thing that is so delightful about it, is that it doesn't matter whether you're at Alpha Centauri or whether you're around the corner. You're actually in their space with them. And it's terribly intimate, and that's why I've been working with other stuff. I mean, I'd like to actually get a lot more guerrilla with all of that, but I mean, I love the idea of hacking into people's transmission space when you haven't actually been invited, but that's a whole other discussion. So I'm kind of doing like a soft core version of hacking into someone's personal space with the unfamiliar. Because I want people to start listening in different and new ways, and thinking in different and new ways, you know. And by hijacking this little bit of radio space, it's kind of you kind of do that, you know.
For the radio show featured today, John Panther prescribes that you adjust the volume of your radio set so that it matches the ambient noises in your environment.
Sometimes I think it is appropriate to contextualize and to put one into to create the situation whereby you can engage in the piece. And I think that's completely correct to do that on occasion when appropriate, just as much as I love the idea of absolutely not projecting anything onto something whatsoever, just nothing at all, and just leave you to do with it as you wish and to go where you wish with it. And those two extremes I adore. And in that particular piece, yeah, I mean, that is, I guess, that aspect of what I love about radio is how do we, it's about that, the intimacy and that compression of time and space. How do you bring something that could be from anywhere with an anonymous number of miles, you bring it into your environment, and how do you meld that into the environment you're living in? And the idea where you... as far as the amplitude is concerned, you mix it down so it actually works with your environment. So, you know, whether you hear an oven timer going off, or whether you hear the next door neighbours getting pissed and having a row, or whether we live next to the M1 and we have a flight path over us. So you have all that stuff. You're interacting with your, you know, bits in your kitchen, or you're doing this. And how does that work? The idea of that being just simply part of your personal environment. So that's what that was all about. I was just very interested in the idea of how can you sneak in to someone's personal space? Doing it this way is illegal, you know. So how do you hack into someone's personal space? And how does that become just part of their environment without it being some specific thing that's being focused on? So I just I was intrigued in that idea about it simply becoming part of your own personal space. And each individual will do that very differently because their space is very different. So I was just intrigued in that idea, the idea of how do I become a part of someone's space? And I have absolutely no idea who that might be or where they might be.
Hmm. And the instruction is to listen to the piece at quite a low level enable that.
Yeah, the idea, I suppose what I meant by that was the idea that it shouldn't dominate. It should be a part of your space. So maybe if you've got a hell of a loud space, you need to turn it up a bit so it's part of that. So yeah, the idea was it becomes a part of it and not a specific thing that you focus on. Yeah.
Yeah. And you have long stretches where there's just like, you know, very low bass energy that would just disappear anyway.
Because I'm intrigued by the idea of that if you do get levels and frequencies just right, you get the crossover between the frequency that you're hearing being transmitted and stuff that's going on in your environment. And it can be quite, and I like the idea of that those boundaries become blurred. And it's like, was I actually hearing something from that transmission, or was it coming from something in the house? So it's like that blurring of boundaries between what's actually being transmitted into your environment and what you're actually in amongst, and not being quite sure.
That in a way also defines radio as a thing that is heard through a speaker, not through headphones.
Not headphones, no.
That's what I mean, you know. It's like a lot of what's termed personal audio or podcasting or whatever is happening today is made for headphones. It's made for consumption on headphones and shutting out the environment, noise-canceling headphones and stuff. And radio isn't.
Precisely. It's this idea of you create this little portable white cube, you know, the white cube of the gallery. Well, with our iPods, with our headphones, we create these little portable white cube gallery spaces that shuts the world out, and we walk around in them. Right now, as I talk to you, and I'm hearing hiss coming through here on this side, but I'm hearing hiss from the freeway that we've got here. They blend in quite nicely. I'm not shutting out the environment. I like hearing the created audio environment with the audio environment I'm inhabiting simultaneously, absolutely. And that's fundamentally what that is all about, yeah.
And now, radio show number 530, Lift Up Over Transmission by John Panther for Eastside FM.
Number one.
This is a show for radio.
Number two.
We're equipment stations.
Number three.
Bringing new and forgotten ways.
Number four.
We're making radio.
Number five.
Are you up for it?
Number six. Number seven. Number eight. Number nine. Number ten. Number 11. Number 12. Number 13. Number 14. Number 15. Number 16. Number 17. Number 18. Number 19. Number 20. Number 21. Number 22. Number 23. Number 24. Number 25. Number 26. Number 27. Number 28. Number 29. Number 30. Number 31. Number 32. Number 33. Number 34. Number 35. Number 36. Number 37. Number 38. Number 9. Number 41. Number 2. Number 3. Number 4. Number 45. Number 46. Number 48. Number 9. Number 50. Number 52. Number 53. Number 54. Number 63. Number 64. Number 65. Number 6. Number 67. Number 69. Number 70.
or you may say,
now you can play along with us.
Thank you.
sometimes.
Thank you. A is for...
No.
B is for... Yes. C is for... D is for...
M is for...
transmission. Find us online at Radio-FM.
I don't consider myself to be a radio artist. I'm not. The precepts around the concepts around it, absolutely are that I work with. But I like to put my fingers in pies. You know, I've got my finger in this pie and that pie and all the rest of it. So, radio as transmission, as a performance space in a medium is something I love and I adore and I feel a great connection with it. But I probably wouldn't be able to call myself a radio artist or a transmission artist if you get my drift, you know?
So what else do you do? What other pies have you got fingers in?
The reason why I work in sound and the reason why I work in... I've been working in various forms of composition since the year dot, is I'm just trying to explore new forms. It's just about exploring new forms. I mean, I've worked in performance. Just everything. It's just, it's about exploring new form. It's quite funny. This just as a little aside, I think Sally, who is the rep in New Zealand, she's actually Australian. I'm the rep in Australia, but I'm actually a New Zealander, you know, which I think that's quite funny. And in Sydney, we're pioneering on, and we're hacking our way through the undergrowth, and we're air by air, we're converting them.
Yes.
How did you first get in contact with radio? I don't remember.
How did I do that? Quite some years ago, I was had a moment doing some work experience at Resonance FM, and that's when I first encountered the joys of, well, you know, just working with radio. And radio is a medium for performance, and radio is a medium for it's a lab, you know, a laboratory. It's for experimenting with sound, and that was the first environment that that I'd actually taken that one on board. I hadn't really thought in terms of that before. I've got that T-shirt. He's wearing it. I've got the same T-shirt. That's a Resonance FM T-shirt, no? Oh, hello. Have we lost transmission? Hello. Oh no. I think we've. Oh no.
Did you touch anything?
No.
Okay, you said
before you back. Oh no. Or could you? Could I ask a favour if you could top up my
Yeah, okay. Just give me a second.
Oh no. What do I do? I do that? No. No. Oh no.
Radio Files is a mobile radio production for Documenta 14. For more information, visit mobile-radio.net.